seen him forever, and I've seen Chris on Zoom. Okay, but we've never. And there's my sponsor. You snuck in. Okay, everybody else, I don't know you, right? And which makes it a little bit easier. And I've just totally been tripped out. I live in Altadena, and driving over here, you know, into West Hollywood, because I, you know, was in recovery in West Hollywood area for years, and it is like my life passed before me, you know, and some of my acting out passed before me, and I have a lot I could talk about, but my sincere wish is the new people, the people that are brand new, that it's their first time or whatever to be at a meeting, I really just hope you come back, and I hope you're able to give yourself a chance to see what recovery might help you with. I've been very retrospective this week, thinking about, because I haven't shared my slaw story in a while, like at a meeting in a while, and I usually go to in-person slaw meeting. I go to the Augustine Fellowship Zoom meeting usually. And anyway, this year, I'm going to jump back and forth because I can. And I can. Yeah. I'm actually spiritually and emotionally in probably one of the best places I've ever been in my life now. And the last several weeks, and particularly in the last month, I was part of the Altadena fires. And that was a mindfuck. It was really awful. And to have to be evacuated and displaced, and I got to come back, you know, but then I had terrible problems with my animals adjusting with coming back to where we live, terrible problems, and just, it's been in the last month that I feel really normal, like I feel normal, kind of like nothing happened, like normal, you know, but that happened, and then over the last several months, I've been doing a lot of spiritual work, and I am in other programs. I'm an AA, and I'm in the Money program. And I've been in SLAW about 6 years. August will be 6 years that I started in SLAW with my sponsor, the same sponsor for the last 6 years, which is a gift to have a sponsor long term, you know, that really gets to know you and you get to know them. So the thing I want to lead with or open with, I think we talked about this, Nick, is so I've been doing all this spiritual work, right? And one of the things that, and this is just my deal, this is my jam, okay? Is I've always had a connection to higher power, you know, like I can pray and talk to higher power or whatever. But one of the things that's new to me is the concept that I have a group of guides spiritually that talk to me, or I can talk with, or I can get information from a number of guides, right? The reason I bring this up is because several weeks ago, back in April, one of my guides, and I can tell, you know, I can tell when it's a guide, one of my guides said, hey, you can't let this slaw stuff hijack your life. That's what it said exactly. You can't let this slaw stuff hijack your life. And I want to talk about that. And what that's about is where I'm at now in recovery. Where I'm at now in recovery. Like, I've done all the step work. I've acted out a little bit in sex sobriety. I've had some abstinence. I dated someone for a year that I thought I might marry. It was felt like a serious relationship, and we truly love each other. Where we're not supposed to be married, okay? And we're both very, very clear on that. But slaw stuff hijacking my life. What that means is my therapist. I have a sex therapist who's a certified sex therapist. And I get, sometimes I get confused, like, what if he said something or if my sponsor said something, you know, like, which one did I said this, you know, which is okay. And, but I have been told that I have a problem with my sexual responses, okay? Like, case in point, okay? I'm all in this spiritual stuff, like, I'm all woo-woo, metaphysical, what's going on and all this stuff. So I got turned on to some programming, you know, some programming on Gaia. And this guy who has this stuff I want to hear is drop dead gorgeous. You know, he's on the bit. That's step five. He's like drop dead gorgeous, and completely unattainable. He lives in another country. I don't know. Maybe he comes over here once in a while. But it was just like, the slaw stuff is, God damn it, I cannot get away from this. I cannot get away from being attracted to somebody I can't have. I can't get away from these feelings that come up, you know, that are going to come up, that are normal. That's why my sponsor has talked about, like, sexual responses being normal, you know. And the second person I was ever in love with, who was married, of course, to a woman, he said, you know, hey, even married people, happily married people, meet people that they're attracted to. Or they think, I could do that, you know. But they're married. They're happily married. And they just recognize it and let it go. Everybody does that, right? And so, so where I'm at with my slaw stuff right now, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about recovery, actual recovery, is I'm not sure where I fit in. I know I don't think I want to be in a relationship. I don't want to be married. I don't think I'm supposed to be married, or really to anybody, okay? And that's cool. I'm all pretty blunt. Something that really kind of became obvious a couple of years ago is I really do have a problem with erectile dysfunction, with ED. That's a very real issue for me. I'll be 63 next month, and I have been told that ED is a problem for guys in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. It's not just an old guy thing, you know? But I started a couple of years ago, I started trying to act out a little bit, kind of unbeknownst to my sponsor at the time, you know, and tried to do some hookups and realized there's a problem, there's an issue here with casual sex and being able to function. And that was a change in my life. And so that, you know, so I'm there with that right now and being okay with that and accepting that. And that's a whole therapy thing. You know, there's lots of things you can do if you sexually in bed if you can't have an erection. There are, you know, not that I've tried all of them, but there are supposedly and everything. But the point is, where I'm at right now with slaw stuff is being into acceptance of what goes through my head, letting it go, not worrying about it. I don't have to figure it out. But anyway, let me talk a little bit specifics about the value or the benefit of what I've gotten out of slaw. 3 years ago, into the spring, 3 years ago, or 6 years ago, I'm sorry, 6 years ago, I was told by an AA friend, a slaw friend, and my shrink, you need to go to slaw. It's time for you to go to slaw, this thing, okay? You know, and my thing was engaging with and seducing married men or bi-curious guys or whatever, and that wanted to be seduced they wanted to engage. They wanted, you know, that whole world. It's a whole world. And I'd done that for like 30 years, okay? And it's very much about power and control. And one of the things, nothing horrible happened, you know, that made me come in. But it was just, you know, my shrink and these friends said, you need to do something with this, okay? Because it's fucking you up. And so I came into slaw and I meet my sponsor, the person who would become my sponsor, and we started working together in a meeting, and in the first month, he said, either over the phone or in person, he said, hey, you don't have control over anybody or anything in a relationship. You do not, you know, and you know, we know that intellectually, but that was my whole thing. That was my turn on with the sex stuff, was I can get this guy over who wanted to be seduced. He wanted me to be the controller and all of that stuff. And so it was this huge, huge control thing. Huge, powerful thing. One of my favorite things from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous that it says for alcoholics and addicts is lack of power is our dilemma. Lack of power. And something I've given a lot of thought to is there's different types of power, right, in the world. There's money, there's beauty, there's sex. You know, there's politics, there's all these different types of power, you know, whatever, brawn. I don't now, because I'm an old fat queen now. I, at one point in time, I had a lot of allure and could manipulate and all that stuff. And what I know now, why I bring that up now is, after having almost 6 years in slaw, I'm kind of horrified by my behavior. Is that another 5 minutes? Okay. I'm horrified by that behavior and about like going after a married man with children, you know, you know, like thinking about, I'm just going to be straight up, you know, like I have, you know, I have a herpes on my lip. I have that because I've had that since I was a teenager. And I have more than once blown a guy with a lesion on my mouth. You know, what's to say he didn't get herpes and take it home to his wife? That sounds like really heavy and awful, but it's kind of also the truth, right? And one of the things I've learned in recovery in any program is the tools of recovery are about what behavior works, what's in your best interest, what's good for you, and what's good for the other person, you know? And so one of the things about coming into, so I come into SLAW and I do my steps, and one of the things, and I can't remember if it was the first time I did a four step or if it was the second time I did it. Well, I'm gonna talk about the first time. The first time I did my steps, and one of the things, you have to do amends, right? You have to do your eighth and ninth steps and all this stuff. So I had 30 years ago slept with, seduced, gotten drunk, the husband of one of my best friends back in Texas. One of my best friends. Two of my best, her and her daughter. But I seduced her husband. He freaked out on me. We cover it up. And then it comes out a year later, and it hurts this woman terribly, and it hurts her daughter terribly, okay? So I didn't deal with that, right? I didn't deal with that for like 30 years until I came into SLAW. So I come into SLAW, and I'm working with my sponsor, and he's like, okay, it's time to deal with it. Let's deal with it. And so I researched an access number, phone number of the daughter. You know, I was going to call this woman and say, I want to make amends about what happened, you know? And I remember the day, and I didn't know what was going to happen when I made the phone call, but I remember the day, I will never forget the day. I'm like, I'm going to make this amends. And so I'm getting ready to call Robin back in Amarillo, and just this well of pain, like in my body, just came up, you know, this around this incident. And I was just like, holy shit, I've been like carrying that well of pain. It's a huge amount of pain about this incident, one incident, in my body for like the last 30 years. And it just astounded me that I had carried that much pain over that one thing, which would set my whole acting out career forever, you know, acting out with men's, you know, surreptitiously. The other thing that I did not expect I started to get into anorexia stuff. And so I think my sponsor said, let's do some step work on anorexia with an anorexia focus. So I started to do that, and unbeknownst to me, is I ended up writing a great deal about my relationship with my father, okay? My relationship with my father, and I just did not know how much I needed to do that. I didn't know how much I needed. I'd done so much work on my stuff with my mother, and I'm so grateful to be at the point in my life where I've truly let them both off the hook, truly. And feel a measure of love and compassion is certainly acceptance about my stuff with them, you know? You never know, like, how the thing that's so cool about recovery, it is so like the yellow brick road, man. Like, you're just going to go through all these adventures, and you don't know where, you know, and one of the things I'm studying right now with this hot guy on video is, he says, the universe is not worried about the goal. The universe is not worried about you getting enlightenment. The universe is concerned about the process you go through. The process we're all going through a process. It's all about our process and what we learn, right? And how we treat and how we treat one another. And to wrap this up. One of the best things my sponsor, who's in the room, has ever said to me a few years ago, a few years ago, he said, you really need to kind of watch the words you use when you speak to yourself in your mind. You need to be mindful of what you say to yourself, you know, and like a case in point, like this with my ED, like I used to refer to myself as Dead Dick. You know, when I'm journaling, Dead Dick. I'm Mr. Dead Dick. What's going to become of me? And I realized I need to stop saying that. That's a harmful and hateful thing to say to myself, you know? And also to be mindful of, when I'm talking to myself, I'm also talking to the little Avery, that little kid inside of me. So anyway, I hope that something I said was helpful, because I genuinely am grateful for the recovery I've had in SLOT. So that's it.
Thank you. That's over, buddy.